People of God, I have 3 points I want to bring up this evening. One is the same as our sermon title, Teach Us to Pray. Second, prayer is necessary. And third, how to pray. The disciples asked Jesus, or at least we are told in Scripture, one disciple asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray as John, that is John the Baptist, taught his disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but this caught me by surprise. John taught his disciples to pray? Well, where is that in the Bible? And I looked, I searched, I couldn't find a single reference to John, to any of his prayers, to teaching his disciples how to pray. And I guess I'm surprised because when I think of John the Baptist, and I'm sure like me, when you think of John the Baptist, you think of John, a prophet and a martyr. Yet our Lord's disciples, when they thought of John the Baptist, they thought of him as a man who prayed and taught his disciples to pray. Okay, I couldn't find anything in the Bible. Let me do a search on the internet. I guess I'm sorry at what I had found. I found a couple of awful, simply disgusting prayers. First one is entitled, Prayer to St. John the Baptist. Oh, glorious St. John the Baptist, greatest prophet among those born of woman, although thou wast sanctified in thy mother's womb and didst lead the most innocent life, nevertheless, it was thy will to retire into the wilderness, there to devote thyself to the practice of austerity and penance. Obtain for us the grace to be wholly detached from earthly goods and to practice Christian mortification with interior recollection and the spirit of holy prayer. Amen. Wow. Remember what John the Baptist said? He, talking about Jesus, he must become greater, I must become less. Would John even think of praying something like this? Of course not. Or prayer number two, entitled Prayer for Guidance and Strength. Lord Jesus, we humbly seek the intercession of St. John the Baptist. I think I should stop right there. We seek the intercession of John? Who's the intercessor? Not John. Not any other person like you and me. Jesus is our intercessor. And yet, the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now think about this. John, like Jesus, was a miracle baby, filled with the Spirit before he was born. Yet, as far as the disciples of Jesus were concerned, he was known for prayer. He was privileged to introduce the Messiah to Israel, and yet he was known for prayer. Jesus said John was the greatest of all of the prophets. And yet, he was known for prayer. And so I ask you, if prayer was so vital to such a great man as John, who had such an important role in the history of salvation, how much more important should prayer be to you and me? Lord, teach us to pray. Notice what they didn't ask. They didn't say, teach us how to preach, to do signs, to do miracles. Teach us to pray. That's one of the most important things, dear people, that we need to know. You know, sometimes we think, foolishly, I have to say, if only we had been with Jesus as he walked and lived on this earth. I heard that this past week. And I said to that person, I got bad news for you. I bet you would be in that crowd yelling, crucify him. If only we had been with Jesus when he was on this earth, we would be a better Christian. No. No, you wouldn't. You know how you become a better Christian? Lord, teach us how to pray. That's the key. According to Luke, at the very beginning of our Bible reading, Jesus was praying in a certain place. The disciples saw this, and that triggered their request. Now think about this. Jesus praying, just like you, I asked you to think about John praying. In his human nature, the eternal Son of God was praying. He who in his human nature was without sin or fault or shortcoming often went to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Luke 3. At his baptism, Jesus prayed, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. Luke 5, Luke notes for us, Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place to pray. Luke chapter 6, Jesus spent the night praying. And you know what he did the next day? He chose his 12 apostles. Luke chapter 9, Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up a mountain to pray, and as he is praying, he is transfigured before them. And we can go through the Gospels, we can go through Luke, and we'll find many more references to the prayer life of Jesus. Telling us what? Prayer was important to Jesus, important in his life, important in his ministry, highlighting his reliance on it for spiritual renewal, strength, and communication, a living relationship with God. And the same question as I asked about John the Baptist, if prayer was important to Jesus, shouldn't it be important to you and me? Lord, teach us to pray. You know what the disciples were revealing about themselves, saying about themselves when they asked this? Lord, we don't know. We don't know how to pray. We need to be taught. We need to learn. Someone needs to show us. Someone needs to instruct us. Someone needs to tell us. Teach us to pray. And we too need instruction, as well as our children, our grandchildren, our youth. And you know why we need instruction in prayer? Because prayer is difficult. A confession, my confession. Boy, I get distracted real quick when I pray. I like to pray when I'm on my bike ride. I still try to pay attention to the traffic. And I'm praying about different things. And then I remember about a year ago, I was praying and I saw a bear in front of me, and I start thinking about the bear, and it wasn't overly big, not dangerous. I would say a teenage bear. And thought about, well, wonder where its mother is, and wonder what it's eating today, and that sort of thing. And oops, let's get back to the prayer. Or I see the beauty of God's creation, and I get distracted by the flowers. I'm praising God for all of this, and then I start thinking about some of that stuff, and I stop my praying. Prayer is difficult. Not just because we get so easily distracted, but because we are sinful, selfish, self-centered people who too easily and too quickly make it all about ourselves. And then Paul admits something. He says, too often we have no idea what to say or how to pray. Romans 8, verse 26. Lord, teach us how to pray. That brings us to our second point, the necessity of prayer. And saying or asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, the disciples are saying something about how necessary, how vitally necessary prayer is for them. There's an old song that we had, and I don't know if you remember this hymn book, the old Blue Psalter hymnal. I don't think we've had it in any hymn book since then. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Telling us what? Prayer is as necessary for the Christian and his or her spiritual life as bread and water and milk are for our physical life. And the tragedy and the folly is that we often neglect it and do not do it as often as we ought. Remember, God is our lover, the lover of our soul. And can you imagine going through life without talking to your lover, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend? You can't keep up a relationship. You need to communicate. The relationship withers and dies or extremely dysfunctional. Prayer is necessary. It's necessary for us. But I would have you note, it's not necessary for God. Yes, he's pleased to hear our prayers. He tells us he wants to hear our prayers. He even delights in our prayers. But God does not need our prayers. He does not need our prayers to praise him, to worship him, to adore him, or to inform him of things. Before time, in eternity, the triune Godhead lived in perfect blessedness with neither angel nor saint to praise him. Lord, teach us to pray. But God himself does not need our prayers. So let me ask, why do we need to pray specifically? Why? Prayer is one of the ways that God measures thankfulness. Thankfulness is not to be measured by exuberance in worship. by how active you may be in the community, by how much you put in the offering plate, by how orthodox you may be in your beliefs. How does God measure thankfulness? There are three things he always looks at. One, that we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus alone for our salvation. Two, that we strive for obedience to his commandments. And three, that we pray. And that we do all three every day. Prayer is the language of thanksgiving, says the Catechism. If we are thankful, we will tell God. In fact, we will not be able to stop thanking God. So I dare say every one of our prayers should always include a word or two of thanksgiving to God. In fact, we should thank him before we dare to ask him for anything. God demands our thanksgiving in prayer. And it's not something we naturally include. You know, we're like little children. I remember I gave a gift, or Ruth and I gave a gift to one of our grandkids. And she refused to say thank you. I just could not believe it. And her parents didn't say anything. I'm thinking, man. And that reminded me, we need to teach our children to say thank you. And God needs to teach us to likewise say thank you. Even when we don't feel thankful, because you know our feelings have absolutely nothing to do with us, we need to look at life. No matter how awful it may be at times, no matter what tragedy may have happened, look at life. Look for God's blessings and say, thank you, Lord. There's a second reason why Christians need to pray. Prayer, says Jesus, is the means by which God gives blessings that we so desperately need. I tell you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Ask. James puts it this way, you desire and do not have, you do not have, because you do not ask. Do you want the forgiveness of sin? Ask. Are you looking for daily bread? Ask. Do you want the Holy Spirit? The Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit, says Jesus at the last verse of our Bible reading, gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Do you need wisdom? Do you need discernment? Ask. Ask because God delights to give. He wants to give. And to use the phrase of the Belgian Confession of Faith, God is the overflowing fountain of all good. And that brings us to our third point. How to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. You might know, perhaps you don't, the Lord's Prayer is found in two different places. It's found here in the Gospel of Luke. It's one version. Matthew has a different version. In Matthew's version, Jesus introduces the Lord's Prayer by saying, this is how you should pray. So what does the how tell us about how we should pray? I find at least 6 different instructions for prayer that come out of our Bible reading. Number 1, God's will. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus shows us how to pray according to God's will. And when we look at that prayer that teaches us how to pray, we see that our first concern in life should not be we ourselves, our needs, our cares, our concerns in this life. It should be God's name, God's rule, God's will, God's kingdom. And then things like food and forgiveness and help in temptation. So we pray starting with God in mind, not we ourselves. The second thing, we need faith. True prayer depends on a spiritual relationship with God that enables us to call Him Father. And this can only come by faith in Jesus. To be a man or a woman or a child of prayer, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come to our Father in Christ. If you aren't a Christian, if you are a Muslim, a Hindu, a Jew, an atheist, you need to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus. And then you can pray. 3, when we look at the Lord's Prayer as a totality, we notice a plurality. What do we mean by that? There are no singular pronouns in the Lord's Prayer. They are all plural. Now, our world today puts an unbelievable amount of emphasis on pronouns. There are men who want to be called she, women who want to be called he, transgenders are called they, and some people you don't know until they wake up what you need to refer to them as. While in the Lord's Prayer, we see that Jesus and His church are also concerned about pronouns. It begins with our Father. Give us. Forgive us. Our debtors. Lead us. Deliver us. What does that tell us? We come with believers worldwide. When we pray, we are one voice in an entire choir of voices. And when we pray not just for ourselves and our loved ones, but all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, teach us to pray. The fourth element, by asking that, the disciples indicate that they want to pray. They're sincere about prayer. It's not just words that they are heaping one on top of another, word upon word, phrase upon phrase, to impress man. Rather, it's God they are interested in, a relationship with God that they are interested in, intimacy with God that I say they, but I should say we are interested in. Intimacy with God we are interested in. When we remember how glorious He is, how majestic His name, we will not say His name irreverently and flippantly. Rather, we speak sincerely and from the heart. And the fifth point, persistence. I just love that little story that Jesus has added to His teaching. I call it the grouchy friend at midnight. A man is in bed, and a neighbor comes and says, I have someone who dropped in on me. I need some food. Beat it. Scram. I'm in bed. Don't bother me. But the guy keeps knocking. He keeps asking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. And because of his persistence, his neighbor gives him the food that he is asking for. Now, God, of course, is not an unwilling neighbor, nor should we ever be a grouchy friend at midnight. But the point here is we need to be persistent. Jesus could talk in another place, Luke 18, I think it is, about a woman who kept coming to a judge. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. 18 years. Give me justice. And the judge finally got sick and tired of her request and gave it. Gave her the justice she was looking for. In prayer, we need to be persistent. And the last thing that we see in our Bible reading, notice how honest Jesus says we need to be. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. How do we come to God? Honestly. As penitent sinners, admitting we are fallen. Admitting we need his grace. Admitting that we have been hurting God as well as each other. Admitting that we are unworthy. I learned a new phrase the last number of years. I asked a friend, how are you doing? And every time he says, better than I deserve. You know, I kind of like that. Gerben asked me this morning, so how are you guys doing? What did I say? Better than I deserve. Because what do I deserve? What do you deserve? You know what? Nothing. Nothing. We are sinners like the tax collector who would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, beat his breast saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our unworthiness is not to be an afterthought. Lord, we quickly add at the end of the prayer, forgive me my sin. No. We beseech and cry and beg and groan inwardly. Lord, teach us to pray. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we do need help. In this fallen world,